Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we love to talk about, well, I can't say all the things that you've never heard of in real estate, because frankly, none of us know all the things in real estate because it changes every single day. But today, I'm really excited to introduce y'all to a friend of mine in Raleigh, North Carolina. And not only do I get to introduce you to her, it's also a moment where I get to remind y'all that if you stop looking at just the houses in your own area, you will meet some really amazing people all around you when you start to reach out. So Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell all the people a little bit about how long you've been in, where you're located, all those fun bits.
I have been in real estate going on 4 years. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, born and raised. And so I'm in this crazy triangle market right now.
And so if you're not from North Carolina, Shannon, tell them what the triangle consists of, besides the fact that there's a basketball triangle, which is dominated by Carolina. But other than that, what are your triangle regions?
Yes, and my poor NC State has not fared so well, but I will have to give it up to UNC for representing the triangle very well this year. So the triangle is UNC, or I should say Chapel Hill. Raleigh, and then Durham. So we're located right in the glorious center of North Carolina, halfway between the beach, halfway between the mountains. It's a great place to be.
And you've also got most of the politicians up there because Raleigh's the capital.
We do.
And once a year, you get like the most fun in the state because the state fair happens up there. And that's the people watching that you can't replicate anywhere else, even in real estate.
Oh, yes. And that is a big benefit for my husband for living here. He is not a realtor, but he is a class A people watcher. So
he enjoys the fair. Oh, but he is right at home. Okay, so before you tell your crazy something about real estate, there's only two ground rules for the podcast. You know these as a subscriber. The rest of y'all that haven't subscribed yet, you should totally go ahead and click the button now. But the two ground rules of the podcast are, you can use any salty language you want, except for F-bomb, GD, or see you next Tuesday, because I'm allergic to the big hateful ones. And if there's anybody that could be construed as guilty, we don't call out their real names so that they're the only ones that could indict themselves. So with that being said, Shannon, you're 4 years in. You've already seen something that nobody else will ever believe. So do tell.
I do have permission to use names of some people. The other ones will remain anonymous. Speaking of politicians, my attorney, Dwayne Hall, who happens to be one of our fabulous representatives in the state legislature.
Hey, and by the way, Representative Hall, shout out. Thank you for serving.
Yeah, he is amazing. He is definitely one of our realtor champions. But his paralegal, Kelly, decided she wanted to buy a house. Cool. In the right place. So we sold her current house, got it under contract, got that done. Everything easy breezy, beautiful, wonderful. Buying a house, on the other hand, was a little bit more of a challenge. So we had some scheduling issues. I worked on a team at the time. So, you know, the team rose to the occasion, took care of her. But I had not seen this house yet. So we go under contract, and I'm walking through on her inspection, and things are just a little strange. There's just a little things here, little things there, not necessarily taken care of properly, kind of fixed haphazardly. It had been a rental, so we'd expected a little bit of that, but not quite to the extent that I saw. We start negotiating repairs. The agent on the other side is a great friend of ours. She's a great agent. But something in her demeanor just was a little off. Kelly, being a paralegal and being a, you know, great asset to us, starts investigating a little bit further, not only into the company, which we had looked into earlier, that owned the house, but to the people that actually made up that company. Well, come to find out, the gentleman that owned most of the property, he had gotten himself into a little bit of trouble up in Virginia. He had been bringing in people illegally to the States and staffing his kiosks with them at the mall and paying them in Olive Garden gift cards.
Okay, there's too much to absorb here. So wait a minute, there's human trafficking going on in this house?
Well, not in the house, but this gentleman that owned it was apparently bringing over relatives from another country And they were working at his mall kiosks. And we're not quite sure if they were family members or extended family members, but he was not paying them. He was paying them in Olive Garden gift cards, which I about fell out when I heard that. So we immediately terminated this contract and we're like, we are not dealing with this. Nope. We're good. We backed away. Come to find out about 2 weeks later, the feds seized the property and she would not have been able to close on that house anyways.
Shut up.
Well, it gets better. So we get her under contract in a new house. She has moved into this house. It's a beautiful house. It's great. But there were renters in it again. This is telling of this price point that she was looking at. So, we go in and there is drug paraphernalia all over this house, all over the place.
Okay, so tell us, what is drug paraphernalia? Are we talking like a bong? Are we talking needles? Is it something really, really icky
bongs,
or modern?
There's roaches, there's, you know, rolling papers, there's ashes, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, these people obviously were not happy about their house being sold out from under their lease. You know, we're walking through and it's a great house and we can see past it. So that's cool. We get her under contract. They're very excited. It's a great area. Cool. So we go back and we do our inspection again, right? There is a clogged up toilet, a broken sink, light fixtures have been ripped out of the walls. They just trashed this house. So I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Given what we've gone through, we can roll with this. It can all get fixed. It's cool. We got
wait,
this.
Wait, Shannon, did you just say you can roll with this?
We can roll with this. So we talked to the other agent again. Great agent on the other side. Somebody I worked with before. So we work it all out. She's completely embarrassed. On the phone with the sellers immediately. They're going to get it all fixed. So we go to do our final walkthrough. And we pull up to this cute little house. And there are lights on everywhere. And there are all these people walking around. And given what we had seen before, we were like, we're not going in there. No. So we kind of like staked out the house in the cul-de-sac. So the three of us are sitting in my Highlander, you know, kind of trying to peek in the windows and see what's going on. And finally, they all leave. And we walk through and everything is done, which was miraculous. They must have just called in like their A-team and they got it all done. But come to find out, the tenants were the sellers' nieces and nephews living in the house. And they called in the whole family and they were like, y'all need to come fix this. And so they came through, they cleaned out the whole house, they fixed everything up. Closing went as expected. They love the house. They plan on being there for many years. But we had quite a challenge getting her to the closing table.
But on the bright side, you got so many stories out of one client.
One transaction. And it's somebody that I work with all the time. Matter of fact, I got a closing with her later today. But yeah, so it was definitely a bonding moment for the two of us.
Serious. Or several bonding moments.
Yes.
Wow. So let's look at the scenario here and see what we want to pull out of this, besides the fact that there's so many angles here. But you know, I want to start with the positive, because I am generally a glass overflowing person. There's something you said twice that makes my heart really happy. And it was that in two different offers you were working on, you had great relationships with the agent on the other side.
Yes.
And that's something that we either don't hear about very much, because too many realtors like to talk about their angst with the other realtor, or nobody's just really paying attention to the fact that we have to work together as realtors so much more than you ever work with a random consumer. And so your good relationships allowed you to get that agent on the phone mm-hmm. and see if you couldn't find some kind of a resolution, and also gave you that boost to your woman's intuition about the house that had things going sideways because agent didn't know what to say.
Yep.
And you know, you've only been in for 4 years, which honestly in any other career, that's like 40. So just add a zero for real estate years. But wouldn't you say that your clients have a much better real estate transaction when the realtor representing the other side is professional, answers the phone, and isn't trying to pick a fight all the time?
Oh, goodness, yes. Well, and that's one of the things I love about women's counsel, which, you know, we're both big fans of women's counsel, is that it has allowed me, especially when I was a newbie, to get to know so many of the top players in the industry and be able to go to them and ask questions, and they mentor you and, you know, you get to build these relationships with these people that you normally wouldn't come into contact for years and years and years.
And it does bring up the fact that there's some realtors out there who do not get involved in things like Women's Council or the Council of Residential Specialists or their state mm-hmm. association or their local association or whatever it is, because they say it's a waste of time, because when you volunteer and you go to these things, you're either doing it for free, you're actually paying to go. And you are a living example, and I am too, of the fact that when you volunteer and get involved, it does cost you some time, but there's a huge payoff down the road for your clients. And that's what this is supposed to be about anyway.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's go back into that story with the second house. How did you react when y'all were in a house full of drug stuff? Now, knowing that we're in North Carolina where you don't have to disclose that a house has had drug dealers or usage in it, but you see all the stuff. So how do you walk your client through that kind of a moment?
I work around NC State, so unfortunately we see a lot of that. Just college kids, it happens. I think every college town sees a lot of that. It's just the age. To me, I don't know that I even had a reaction. Kelly did kind of look around and go, okay. She, you know, lives in this world of real estate and politics, so I feel like she's pretty well prepared to roll with about everything. Again, haha, she rolls.
But, it's so easy.
Yeah,
it's just
no,
so easy.
She just kind of just went with it, which is, you know, one of the things we love about her.
And I'd say it's also one of the marks of your level of professionalism, that you don't let it rattle you, because as realtors, even if we're shocked, we have to learn how to manage that, because the client may not be shocked and they may want the house despite its flaws and moments.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now we know that anybody that wants to buy or sell real estate in Raleigh and needs a fairly unflappable realtor who's not only going to persevere through human trafficking, Olive Garden gift cards, federals stealing a house, well, not stealing, they're rightfully taking it, I presume, and then just generally drugs. If they need somebody that's unflappable and is still out there not only selling houses, but giving of her time and energy to the entire local community, how could somebody find you, Shannon?
I am very active on social media, but they could always call me at 919-909-8335 or email me at shannonb@hpw.com.
So I will include all of Shannon's contact information in the show notes for this episode, so that if you are a local Raleigh area realtor and you'd like to get more involved in Women's Council, or you'd like to know what in the world she's talking about when she says realtor champion, because that is some very powerful language and every realtor needs to know which legislators support our industry and our clients. And then if you are a consumer listening to this and you're in the Raleigh area, frankly, you should go to the show notes and save her information in your phone, because you would be very well pleased to have her as your representation. Shannon, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us so many different visuals for our day.
Well, thank you, Lee. I'm just so flattered, and I love the podcast. Keep doing amazing things.
Well, good. Since you're subscribed, everybody listening should subscribe as well, because most of our episodes are, of course, 15 minutes or less, because frankly, none of us have any extra time in our days. But if you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a consumer who's got your own story to tell, tweet me at Lee Brown or send me a note on any of the networks, and I'd love to feature you on a future episode of the podcast. Until then, subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.